Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, good morning, everybody. Jaguars Today here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. As Tony, we don't often do this, but T-Wig, hang out now. Where are you running off to? You sit right there. And we'll deal with you in a second, pal. Enjoy the shade. Put your headset on and say hello to the peeps out there. After appearing a few weeks ago in Jaguars Today, have you noticed the uptick in social media that is demanding more of T-Wig on Jaguars Today?
I have noticed that.
Have you seen this?
What up, peeps? You told me to say what up to the peeps, right?
Yes,
sir. I think
sir.
I got an extra 200 followers messing around with y'all, man.
Are you cool enough to wear those glasses you have on right now?
I am. These are my gas station specs. Everybody thinks I paid a lot of money for them because they look like, you know, they're expensive, but no.
You're man. Accessorized today, man.
I'm accessorized. Yeah. You know, I don't have my earrings on or nothing like that, but you know, look at his cleats. Look at Marquise's cleats.
Oh, they are silver.
They're nice.
He's jogging out there. I don't see any shoulder pads on.
You better enjoy him now. You can't wear that on game day.
For Marquise, yeah.
It's not team color or black.
You do not get fined in practice, however.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to make this official. I am terrible at golf.
Oh, it's official now. As if I didn't know this when I went to the range with him 3 weeks ago.
No, I went yesterday, you know, because I've been, like, working on my swing, like, without actually swinging at a golf ball, right? So I'm like, okay, I've been watching all these videos. I'm keeping my head straight, keeping my head on the shelf. I keep that left arm straight. I got it. I went yesterday to the range. I'm just as bad as I was the first time I went, so I'm just convinced, man.
Yeah, but you're starting to take some lessons now, right?
Well, I've
given you a little instruction.
I've agreed to take lessons, so I'm, you know.
But that one tip, because you're talking about your thumb, right?
Yeah.
You went, you're
cocking
your thumb back here, right?
And he told me to, you know, go 2 o'clock. But once I did that, I can at least hit 4 out of 5 pitching wedges. I can at least hit it straight, high, and long.
Yeah, he's having you close your club face is what he's having
right,
you do.
Right.
And
it's easier, and I'm holding the club with my fingers now as opposed to my palm of my hand, so that way when I come down, I can, you know,
get a little torque out of that. Baby bird, T-Wig. Let that bird go, but don't kill that bird, all right?
That's our PGA update for today.
There you
right?
go, man. T-Wig, why did you let the guys get so sloppy out there yesterday?
I don't know. You know, that happened when I left.
Is that what happened?
You know, when I left to go back to the studios, they lost focus, you know what I'm saying? So as soon as I left the field yesterday, they lost focus. I don't know what happened, man, but I heard Gus went ballistic, and I love it.
Yeah, well, we haven't seen much of that here in Jacksonville, right? And as I said to Jeff Prosser, I think there's two things that indicates the stakes are higher and the talent's higher, right? Because when you're 3 years ago, when they're getting whipped every week, what are you going to do, demoralize them anymore? You know what I mean? You can only do so much. I think he feels like there's a lot to be expected out of these guys because they're capable of a lot. And there's a lot more proven talent that they brought in via free agency over the last couple of years. And even with the unproven collegiate talent coming in, it's a high-level expectations for those guys. You know, I was talking to Frank yesterday, Frank Frangie. Mm-hmm. We have John Harris on all the time. I don't think I'm talking out of school here. Did he say this? Was on the air about Harris. He did say that on the air, right?
Jacksonville's the team to beat.
That the Texans view the Jags as the team to beat in the division. Harris is their sideline reporter, does TV and radio and everything for them out there, which I thought was pretty interesting, man. But what's your takeaway so far? About a week into camp, what's your main number one thing? If they say T-Wick in one sentence or two sentences, encapsulate training camp for the Jags, what would you say?
Just got to see it when it's all put together defensively. A lot of key moving parts, but I like the fact that they have the talent, that they have the run jump athletes. You'd rather have it than not have it, of course, but you still might have to see it once it gets. The really good teams have that cohesion. It's like a computer program. You stick it in and you know what it's going to do, right? So, and I think what people might be missing is, do they have the talent? Yeah, the Bengals had the talent. Remember when a couple of years ago when the Bengals were up-and-coming team? Mm-hmm. They were out there running around. They could run around with anybody, but you never really knew if they were going to win because, you know, they win 9 games. They go 9-7, and they could go out and play with anybody on any given day. They could run and jump with anybody, but you just didn't know if they knew how to win or not. And I think that's where the Jaguars are. Can they go out and compete every day with anybody in terms of being able to run, being able to tackle, being able to float to the ball? Sure. But do you know how to win games? And that's the big difference. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a team that can athletically compete with the best of them. But are you going to see a team that knows how to win games? Can you get off the field on third down on defense? Can you stay on the field on third down on offense, which means convert that third and three? Know how to lean towards that first down marker. Can you call that right play to keep drives going? That's just going to be the key, man. It's the little things. And I don't even know if it comes down to personnel. It might just come down to coaching and experience and how do you do that type of stuff in close games.
Yeah, and those kind of answers are the answers we're going to start really getting here in this 2016 season. As far as if there isn't success, there's going to be blame somewhere for this team not having that success. And it really doesn't feel like it's been there through these first 3 years. While we have you, Wig, I know I heard you you guys on Chalk yesterday talking about the whole deal with Gus Bradley getting into the guys on the field. And I thought you made a really good point. I actually talked about it on my show for a couple minutes last night, too. I thought it was such a good point that, look, I'm okay with Gus Bradley being the guy that did that yesterday. Eventually, I want Blake Bortles to be the guy that's a big enough voice on this team that they don't have to stop everything. It can be during practice where Blake takes control of those kind of situations, but that he demands just being on the field and being the leader of this football team that everybody step it up if it's not there that day.
Man, this isn't about age for me. This is about the position that you're put in. This is the authority that you're given when you're the leader of the team. I don't care if you're 24 or 34. You're the quarterback. And when you're the quarterback, you're the quarterback. And when you're on defense, if you're the mic, you're the mic. If you don't want the responsibility, then move out of the way. Somebody, Telvin told me this in the locker room. You got to get guys that want to do it themselves. And he pointed right at Gus, who was no more than 5 feet away, and said, it ain't on him to do it. When I asked him about calling that team meeting, he said, we need the kind of guys that are going to respond to it. I said, man, you're a young dude. You ain't had no problem doing it. He said, no, because it's on me. It's on me. He shouldn't have to do it. He pointed right at the coach. You know what? The coach shouldn't have to. If you see a practice going south, it's incumbent upon these players to stop it and say, look, get it together. There's 39 right there. 20 shouldn't have to do it. He's a rookie. He's trying to find his way. 39 knows how to do it, though. Gibson can do it. Malik can do it. I don't care about this. That's not my personality. You know what determines what your personality is? Your contract. Get it done. Somebody has to step up and say, stop it right now. Let's go.
All right. Let me give you a crack as we head into our first break here. First crack at the fan feedback question of the day today, which talks about getting off the field on third down. Sack leaders for the Jags this year. Everyone's going to say Fowler and Gakwe. They're the hot guys, and everyone's excited about them. So we asked today, which three Jaguars will combine for the most sacks this year, and how many will they combine for? Who would you put in that category?
Dante Fowler.
Okay.
It's obvious.
Yeah, he's that obvious one, right? That's why we didn't ask for one.
Jalen Ramsey.
Okay.
Out of the slot. And Malik Jackson.
Malik Jackson. How many would you suggest the trio would account for?
28.
28?
Yes.
It's a lot. That is a lot, brother. You're talking about, you're thinking double digits for Dante, I think.
Double digits for Dante.
Let's say he gets 12. That leaves 16 still to go for those two. Woo! All right. I'll take that right now. I'll sign up. Any trio combines for 28 this year for the Jags. That is a big win.
More importantly, though, I think there has to be a lot of pressure up the middle.
Oh, absolutely.
I think if the pressure comes up the middle because of the way that they play, because of Dante's activity, Dante will get some sacks on his own, but then there are some sacks that are going to come running to him because of the pressure that will be up the middle.
As we let you go, T-Wig, we actually got a text in almost immediately after we said it. It went through my head. I just didn't say it out loud when we talked about the game day attire for Marquise Lee. We got the tweet that Marquise hadn't had to worry about it very often.
Oh,
true. You can wear whatever he likes on the sideline.
I appreciate y'all having me on, man.
T-Wig, we love you, brother. All right, hey, go take those $3 sunglasses and show them off to everybody out there.
That's
I'm
right.
with you. I love my $3 sunglasses.
All
man.
Right, brother.
There he goes. T-Wig, Anthony Wiggins, ladies and gentlemen. Midday Chalk coming up at noon today. All right, coming up for us, we told you what the question today is, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, or on the Jaguars Today Facebook page, post top three sack leaders for the Jags and how many sacks they will combine for. That is your question today. We're going to hear from Gus Bradley. We're going to hear from Blake Bortles. Brian Sexton's going to join us. Who knows who else may pop up. Training camp week 2 with the Jags. Also, We got a little inside the defensive lineman meeting room role playing that is going to take place.
Yes, we do.
Coming up, and we think you're going to enjoy that as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live out of training camp at the Florida Blue practice fields. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today off and rolling on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It has begun.
All right.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, here we go. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Glad to be out here at training camp with your Jacksonville Jaguars. 1010XL repping deep once again today, Tony. I got T-Wig out here we just talked to, Lauren Brooks, Amanda Borges, Hacker, Big Country, among those spotted at Jaguar practice this morning. I'm sure Rick Ballew, Joe C., they're not out here already. They may have snuck past the goalkeeper, but I'm sure they'll be along shortly as well. And well represented. And we're off and running today. Brent Martineau is going to join us coming up in about 15, 20 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. We'll get the band back together from days gone by. But, Tony, I wanted to try a little role-playing with you, and
okay.
I hope you take that in the right way. We've known each other for a number of years. How long have we known each other, by the way? When did you start at the other hellhole of a station?
2001 or two-ish.
2001-ish, we'll call it. 2001-ish.
15 years.
I bet
like
it's
that.
2002.
Yeah.
Because I remember you started when we once we had moved, and back in 2001 with 9/11, we're still at the old place back then. So it was probably 2000. So about 14 years. I don't know if we ever done any role playing before, but
I don't think so.
We're gonna try it right now. All right, it's not couples therapy here, folks. It's just who do I get described as looking like on this?
Todd Wash.
With this franchise. Todd Wash, right? A little bit, right? I've got the semblance of a goatee.
Uh-huh. And people have often confused me for Dante Fowler Jr.
They have often done that. So I'm about to do that, okay? We're going to take you inside the defensive lineman meeting room. This may be one of the greatest questions ever asked here in the city of Jacksonville as it pertains to football, mm-hmm. right? I'm Todd Wash. All right, everybody, settle down.
Coach.
Settle down. Hold on. Just settle down. All right. Dante, why do you have your hand up? What's going on with you, Dante?
Coach,
Dante.
I got a question, Coach.
Yes, Dante.
The knee feels good. Everything's good.
That's not a question, Dante.
I'm running
Dante.
Around good. I feel really good. I love what you guys are saying about me. I love me some Dante.
I do too, Dante, by the way. I love me some Dante.
But I need to know, Coach, how can I slow down and stop hitting people at practice?
Excuse me?
How do I not hit people at practice?
Excuse me, Dante. That may be the greatest question asked, at least in the defensive lineman meeting room. Not like we hang out in there.
No.
But how do I not basically hurt my teammates out here? How can you contain me? Can you give me some pointers on containing my own superior athleticism and desire?
It's pretty fantastic.
It's really just great. Brent Martineau tweeted that out this morning, and that's what caught our eye about that. Apparently, that's what Dante asked Todd Wash yesterday. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm raring to go. Slow down, big fella. Okay?
Sure. And for a guy like that, you can understand why it's so difficult. If you've been out to practice, it doesn't take long to see. Dante Fowler Jr.'s short burst is pretty incredible.
Very good.
It's a very, very special thing that he can do over a short space of ground, which is what the really good defensive ends in the league can do. It's being able to get around that corner, but then it's that acceleration in that short space to go get the quarterback. Dante has that, and they haven't had a guy that's had it like that in a very, very long time, which is why there's so much excitement about Dante Fowler this season.
But, Tony, and again, we're glimpsing a handful of practices, so let's not get carried away, but at the risk of getting carried away, it's not just the explosiveness and the quickness and the speed. It's the power that he brings to the point of attack as well. You see him stack offensive linemen up, and you're like, this guy plays with great leverage. He plays with the proverbial high motor. I mean, you got to think about it. You've done something your whole life. You're impatient when you're in your early 20s anyway, right? People typically impatient. They don't understand perspective and waiting around, and boy, any setback is the worst thing that ever happened to you, right? At least maybe I'm just describing myself. But Dante Fowler played football his whole life. He finally gets to the biggest stage, gets a chance to earn his money, and gets snatched away on a fluke moment. And for a year, he just has to sit there by himself, go through rehab, go through training. Now he had support from the team and all that, but you know what I'm saying. He's not out there with his teammates hooping and hollering on Sunday afternoon and jumping on top of the pile after a big play. And so he is just champing at the bit, man, to be let loose.
Look, I don't know what kind of practice player Dante Fowler Jr. was when he was at the University of Florida, but you could tell just we had our opportunity to sit down with him in studio for the first time a couple months ago when they were doing all the off-season stuff, and he was around for that for the first time too. Everything was so exciting to Dante. You know, the idea that he got to go out and practice with the team, which is something he didn't get to do last year, so he was excited about that. He was excited about just sitting down and talking to two jabrones in his studio. He was happy to be in there doing that kind of thing because people wanted to talk to Dante about what was going to happen with him being back out on the football field. And now he's in his first training camp, and you can see the excitement every day when he gets back out here that he's getting to play football again. And it's something that got taken away from him for a year. He has high expectations for himself. We'll see if he can live up to those expectations when we actually get to the season. But through the first week, he's been one of the standout guys in camp for this team.
Absolutely. All right. So good to see that, and let's hope it continues and stay healthy and all that good stuff. Tony, well, we got a few minutes here. Let's get to the story from yesterday, which was the lackluster practice and Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles' reaction to that yesterday. And let's start off with Gus just on this practice yesterday not meeting the Jaguars standards.
I know it got a little not like to our standard out there. I know we talked to our team about we're not going to make a permanent reaction off a temporary emotion. And, you know, I know we felt strongly out there today. You know, I think this team, we have a standard. And we talk about, hey, we have high expectations and we'll rise to that. And I think, you know, they want to point it out, hey, is this what a good practice looks like? And if it isn't, we need to know. And it wasn't. It wasn't what we were capable of doing. We come out in full pads today, first opportunity to do that, and it just wasn't to the environment that we needed. And, you know, there's no excuses, no justifying it, no other reason than we weren't our best. And, you know, we got to come back strong now. But, you know, these guys will respond great. And I know they know that it wasn't what we needed. And, you know, we'll see how we come back.
Yeah, it's not uncommon at some point in the first couple weeks of training camp that you're going to have one of those days where there just isn't that energy, and it feels like every year at some point somebody has to step up and say, guys, this isn't good enough. And I think to some degree it's contrived.
Almost preferable to have one of those early?
Right, but I think to some degree it is. I think if you talk to anybody that was out here yesterday, it was down. Right, it wasn't like Gus Bradley was just like, well, here's my chance to do this.
It was kind of an legit
okay practice. It was kind of bad out there yesterday from this team, so it was a good time for him to do it. Blake Bortles, when he met the media after practice yesterday, also talked about it. He was asked, where does that tirade from Gus Bradley rank in the ones that he's seen since he's been here?
So where does that rank on Gus tirades?
That was probably a top tenner. you know, it's not up to the level of the expectations of our team. And when we're not up to that standard, it's either going to be allowed or somebody's going to say something. And Gus intervened and made sure everybody knew that this isn't the team we're trying to be. This isn't the expectations we've set, and this isn't good enough. And I think everybody received that loud and clear. I think one thing that is kind of cool is you could kind of tell, you know, as it's going on and you can kind of see it going downhill a little bit, everybody could feel this isn't, you know, what we're trying to do and get accomplished. And Gus said something about it.
Well, top tenner seems to indicate there's been more tirades than we realize, right? And that, you know, Gus is such an affable personality, and they stand, at least in his time in Jacksonville, the one or two or three explosions we've seen have stood out. We kind of thought we were going to get a little bit more of the guy that we saw up in Seattle with this infamous rant.
2 yards up, 2 yards inside the number, 2 yards inside the number. Don't f***ing show the show early. It's not their triple. Hold back, don't f***ing cover two. Do your job. And you know what? We got a chance on third down. You see it high. It's all f***ing weak. Play the f***ing high. I tell you, it's third five. Trips, CN short. Bam, it's high. Play the shit. You understand? I said, what? Crawl the f***ing speed down. You'll take away the draw. We don't f***ing crawl. What, we're all on the f***ing different pages? Oh, you know what we got to do? We got to do this. No, no, no. We don't do anything. We got three and out by guys doing their job. Then we get this series. Everybody wants to do their own f***ing thing. Well, you won't be great until you do your job.
Nine. I got nine bleeps. I don't know. That's how many I counted in that one.
It's hard to correlate the guy that we sit down with from time to time with what I just heard. Like but it was like it almost makes me laugh because I'm like, that's not Gus to me.
Right.
Like, it's just not. But I do think, you know, we watch him pull the guys aside in practice yesterday, and I think to some degree the guy you just heard on that tape is Gus Bradley. Right, and I think that is part of who he is with the players, too. I don't think he likes to do that in front of us.
Right.
Right, and I think maybe behind the scenes, he gives them that kind of conversation, that kind of leadership. But I think in front of everybody else, he doesn't want to put them in that kind of position. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad
thing. And there's a difference between being a coordinator and the head coach. Coach has to set the tone for the entire organization, you know, that whole thing. So you can fly off the handle a lot more, I think, as a coordinator. Whereas you've got to be the ultimate calming presence at the top if you're the head man. And doesn't mean you can't let loose. Hey, I'm glad. Again, expectations are higher, talent level's higher. He was yelling at a championship defense there in Seattle, okay, or a championship-level defense. So with, you know, great power, they had it, comes great responsibility. Play up to your capabilities.
And even Gus at his angriest doesn't seem negative. Right, like that didn't feel negative to me. That felt like a guy who just expected more out of people.
You know better. You know you can do better. I know you can do better.
Yeah.
Now do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do your job.
Do your job. I love it. All right, there you go. We don't get the full one. 9 bleeps. That's what I counted. If anybody else counted differently, let us know. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Brent Martineau going to join us coming up in just a few minutes from the Frangie Show, CBS 47 and Fox 30, as we continue to take a look at training camp 2016. More from Gus and Blake a little bit later on the show. Brian Sexton, longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, coming along at 11:15 this morning as well. With Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today live at training camp on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Do your job!
Jaguars Daily is brought to you by Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the official sports medicine provider for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
The Jaguars wrapped up day 5 of training camp yesterday, the first day of full pads. Head coach Gus Bradley wasn't impressed. He had a heated conversation with the team, and here's what Blake Bortles had to say about that.
When we're not up to that standard, it's either going to be allowed or somebody's going to say something, and Gus intervened and made sure everybody knew that this isn't the team we're trying to be, this isn't the expectations we've set, and this isn't good enough. And I think everybody received that loud and clear.
Not everything was negative, though. Here's Gus on rookie cornerback Jalen Ramsey.
He's a very good player. He's got really good instincts. You know, to be able to play on the outside, come on the inside, transfer that, and play with a certain poise is really a credit to him, and he showed it again.
Day 6 of training camp is underway, and it's open to the public. This has been Jaguars Daily, brought to you by JOI. I'm Jordan DeArmond.
This is Jaguars Today from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field.
Welcome to the NFL.
Now, this 1010XL training camp update brought to you by McClenny Equipment and Tractor Sales and the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Local Union 234. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Here we go on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Any size plumbing job, residential, commercial, industrial plumbing. If it's plumbing, it's Metro Rooter. That's as simple as it gets. 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter. The right people with the right equipment is why they've been so successful serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com for more information. Or, again, pick up the phone, call 695-1911 if you have a plumbing issue. That's Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Always get wistful, Tony, for the days gone by when you, me, and Brent Martineau sit down together. Think of maybe the greatest sports show in the history of radio when the three of us were together. I think that's probably not an over-exaggeration, Brent, wouldn't you say?
Especially when we talk about music and movies.
Yes,
I'm not sure if
you were strong.
I'm not sure if you guys caught my Twitter game last night, but I was tweeting about Tin Cup.
Where are you now?
Yeah, Tin Cup we were watching.
Did you see it for the first time? Or?
It's so
you
funny
and Bronson get together and watch that one?
It's so funny you said that because
that broad's still out there crying in the waiting room.
It's Hicken, Weber, and myself in the sports office last night trying to get a little work done. And I'm starting to get locked in on Tin Cup, right? That's on. And Weber's like, man, you're locked into that. And Hickens like, is this the first time you've ever seen it? I was dying. I said, it's a fair question, but no.
It is a fair question. At one point, you claimed to have seen something like 20 movies in your life.
Well, since we did the show, I've added about one.
All right. Well, there you go. So 21 movies for Brent Martineau. Thank you for providing us a glimpse inside the defensive lineman meeting room. Love that tweet. Dante Fowler Jr. Asking Todd Wash, basically, how do I not crush people out here? Help me out, coach. How do I dial myself back on the practice field? I mean, look, again, guy hasn't played a single snap that means anything in the National Football League, but it's hard to be out here and not be excited about what you've seen so far.
Yeah, I wish I held the Dante story from last night till tonight because I could have included that quote in.
Yeah, it's great.
And I talked to Dante yesterday and some of the other players. I always try to gauge, especially after learning a lot, you know, all this positivity that we try to have this time of year and then the off season and seeing the results, you know, the last 8-9 years being here. I try to gauge now more off what those guys are saying in the locker room, the players and their teammates. And, you know, they notice the speed and the explosion and that explosiveness different than most guys have, you know. And Odrick even said, he was like, hey, everybody's explosive in the NFL. You always hear it, explosive, explosive. He's a great athlete. No, this guy's a different kind of explosive. He's got a special gift, Posluszny says. So, you know, you go off what they say, and then you see it, and it's hard not to notice. You know, he's one of those players out here the first 5-6 days that really jump off the page at you with that speed. He's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and you can, you know, we've been talking to players for a long time, all three of us, and you can tell when you ask somebody about somebody whether or not they have, you know, the stock answer about, yeah, he's good. You know, like you kind of get the sense of that, and then you talk to them about a guy that they know is good. They've been playing. It doesn't take long for these guys to figure out who's good and who's not out there, at least at that next level. And when you talk to the guys on this team about, you know, Jalen Ramsey and Dante Fowler and a handful of these guys they brought in this offseason, you can already hear the answer is different. It's not, I'm going to protect my guy and say what I need to say with this. It's, this guy's really, really good, and everyone's excited about what they're bringing.
And it's not only the audio that you get from those guys, right? Instead, it's the facial reactions. You know, I think the last 5 months, say, since the draft, however many months that's been, probably not even five, you talk to coaches here and there when we do these group settings, or if you're just talking to them and you mention a player like a Ramsey, like a Fowler, after they've seen him on the field, and before they start answering, they have this look on their face, you know? Now, we've seen it before. You guys have done it when you have guys in studio, and it feels different. You know, it's not just words. They kind of be positive about every guy, and I just think it's the reaction they have sometimes, like that little twinkle in their eye or their eyebrow raises, like, yeah, this is what it's supposed to look like if you want to be a good football team. And I think they have the players, but I caution everybody again, they have a lot of young players. That's going to show up sometime, but will it show up right off the rip in 2016? I think that's the biggest question.
Yeah, you know what, it can't afford to. You know, they can't, put it this way, they can't spend the first month of the season trying to find themselves. I don't expect the defense, for instance, to be as good at the beginning of the year as it will be as the year goes on, but you can't be completely at a loss. You can't blame it on youth anymore.
That's right.
I mean, that's the way you've chosen to go 4 years now into the program. This youth, it's not just young guys, it's young, talented guys. It's guys going in their second contracts in the NFL. It's former Pro Bowlers like Tashaun Gibson, and it's highly acclaimed talent coming out of the collegiate ranks. So as Tony and I have been talking about a little bit this morning with Gus being so upset yesterday, in large part it's due because the expectation should be a lot higher for this football team.
Yeah, in fairness to them, too, they don't use youth you know, as an excuse. My thought is when you have Jalen Ramsey, potentially Miles Jack, Yannick Ngakoue, and Dante Fowler Jr., who have never played a snap in the NFL, on third down here at Everbank Field on September 11th, around 1:10 against Aaron Rodgers, maybe the best quarterback in the NFL, I'm giving a big edge to Aaron Rodgers. He knows where those guys are supposed to be, and sometimes I think in that game they might not know exactly where they're supposed to be. So that's my point. That's where the caution comes into me. And I'm not saying that means they're going to lose the game 32-10, but I think it's not always going to look like it looks right here.
Oh, no doubt. And we fool ourselves into that every summer, Tony. You know?
That's every offseason you fool yourself into something, right? It just feels like there's a lot more gold than fool,
you know,
this year with this Jaguars team, right?
Well,
like, you can get confused every year about what they're going to be or not going to be. And I'm not saying that my expectations have been sky high for any of the last three seasons, but they certainly are higher this year than they have been in any of the first 3 years. And I think the defense is a big reason for that. But on the offensive side of the ball, this is a team that needs to take that next step to be a much more consistent offense than they were in 2015, even if they were successful. Something Mike and I have talked about for the last week or so is this is an offense that averaged 2 points a game, essentially in the first quarter of games last year.
Unreal numbers.
I looked up the numbers for the rest of the other three quarters. The Jaguars were no worse than seventh in the NFL in scoring in any other quarter outside of the first. They were just that terrible in the first quarter. So trying to, you know, when Blake Bortles talks about the quick starts and that kind of thing, it should be a point of emphasis for this football team because they were fine everywhere else in football games except getting started, and it put the team in a hole over and over and over again.
Well, my most overused word this offseason talking about Blake Bortles is dictate, and I do think that's where that comes into play, right? I mean, instead of chase, which is really what the Jags did most of last year, can they dictate play? And I know defenses sometimes dictate the tone of a game. If they're out there first, they might make a play, they might get a big stop, handed over to the offense. I get it. But the guy that dictates the play in this league is the quarterback. And so Blake Bortles has to mature to the point where he can do that. And I think the thing that's not surprised me but opened my eyes out here that I've caught, and one of the ways you dictate play is you complete the second and six pass for a first down. And I think that was one of his, not downfalls, but it's certainly not his best attribute, you know, the first 2 years. Can he get a little more accurate there? I think he's been more accurate in those kind of passes, and he's had more zip on the ball in those kind of situations, which shows his comfort level in the offense. And that's what I'm talking about when I say dictate. I think those are first downs that change field position, not necessarily lead to points. And if he can do that this year, I think they've got a real chance to obviously get a lot more W's.
Brent Martineau here with us from the Franchise Show, CBS 47 and Fox 30. Brent, the veteran day off today for Kelvin Beachum, but from what you've seen just in the first week, how do you think it's progressing on the left side of the offensive line? I mean, it clearly seems like it's going to be a combination of Beachum and Jokel in those two spots one way or the other.
Yeah, listen, I'm not sure it's progressed, Mike, because I don't think we've seen enough of Beachum in these kind of situations. And I know I'm like in the 1% when I said all offseason I think Jokel's going to win that left tackle job. Part of the reason I said I think he's going to win that left tackle job is because I'm not sure when Beachum's going to be available to really go full go. He's coming off an ACL. How good will he look with that ACL? And I think when he's been out there, he's looked good, but not dominant. And you don't expect that. The problem with my theory and me being in the 1% is I don't think Jokel's look very good either. So I think they have a major issue still at left tackle until we see health out of Beachum and more consistent play out of Luke Jokel. And I'll continue to say this too. I just don't see Luke Jokel as a left guard. And I think that's a problem spot. My number one criticism of Dave Caldwell this offseason is not getting the center. Go get the center, and then you have Can and Linder filled up, and you also have Parnell. You have four-fifths of the line complete if you had gotten the center in Alex Mack or whoever you wanted to get. Alex Mack was the guy I wanted to get. And then all you have to fix is that left tackle, and you have two guys that you think are good enough to maybe play there. And now they have two holes on the left side, in my opinion, until we see more and see they can get it done.
But from their point of view, it seems clear that they think that Jokel is better than – if Beachum wins the left tackle job, Jokel's better than the alternatives, at least based on the reps that they're getting and running with the first team. And
But we all know this. They're hoping because they haven't seen him.
No, you're right. You're right.
They're just hoping. It's a blind hope. And that's my whole point is that I think Linder can do the center job. You know, I thought maybe that would be a tougher transition, but I think he can do it. The bottom line is you could have solidified four positions on the offensive line, and now you only have three solid. And that left side's pretty important.
I wonder, from a team perspective, they obviously brought in Beachum. If they had signed another offensive lineman, if they would have made that move too. Like, I just don't know how they were viewing the position they were in the offensive line. They bring in Beachum to compete with Jokel. They were obviously comfortable with moving either one of those guys inside to guard. So maybe they looked at that move really helping both of those spots as opposed to we got Linder at center, so we're not going to worry about that. Maybe they could have brought in a guard. Like, maybe if they – but the money was so crazy for a guy like Kelechi Osemele that who knows if they were really going to be serious about that at any point.
Yeah. Right. If you're going to pay that money, you might as well play him at tackle.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's why I think you pay the money to the center, though. The center is a big position. And here's their thinking. I understand it. They say Bortles and Linder now can grow for years and years and be Saturday and Manning. You know, maybe not to that degree. But the point is they can play together for 12 years. I understand it, but – this is a big year. It's a big year, and you have too many questions on that offensive line. And I think if you look at playoff teams, there might be questions on the offensive line, but those offensive lines play well. and most playoff teams. And this, there's a lot of questions here. We'll see if they
can play. They either play very well, or you've got a veteran quarterback who knows how to make up for it.
A la Tom Brady and
Aaron Rodgers, and you know, we've seen that for years.
And we might have to see, might see it in Russell Wilson this year, because Seattle has all five guys playing a different position. Now, they've played before, but they have all five guys playing a new spot. See, that's a major red flag if I'm out in Seattle. I like the guys. You look at the Giants' runs over the years, they had offensive lines that had been together. You know, they had been together a little bit. They grew up together. They made some mistakes together. These guys haven't been together at their position, so that's a concern for me.
We're going to chase you off now because it's time for you to go do some real work, whatever that is with the camera and things that you do with the visual side of the audio-visual
thing. Yeah, shameless
thing.
Plug. We got First and 10 training camp every weeknight on
Don't
Fox
be shameless.
At 10:45.
That's a shame-free plug.
So that's what we do all day out here. We build toward that show.
Absolutely. It's really, that's what all of Jacksonville does, is build towards that show.
Right.
Brent Martineau, ladies and gentlemen, here with us. Good to see you, buddy.
Great to visit, guys.
All right, there he goes. Brent Martineau, catch him this afternoon on the Frangie Show and all the time on CBS 47 and Fox 30 right here in Jacksonville. Coming up this date in football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, August 3rd, let's go back to 1962, all those Chicago All-Star games. Green Bay over the Collegiate All-Stars, 42-20 on this date. The 29th such affair that was played between a collection of Collegiate All-Stars and the reigning NFL champions. In 1970, you remember the NFL strike of 1970, Tony?
No.
I don't either. It only lasted 4 days. That's probably why. And it ended today. So good for them for getting back on the field. 1987, the Bears beat the Cowboys 17-6 in London, England at the NFL Expo.
Hey!
Somebody should try to play in a regular season game there sometime. Famous birthdays for this date. Lance Allworth, they called him Bambi. NFL Hall of Famer with the Chargers and the Cowboys. 7-time Pro Bowler, 6-time first team All-Pro. Hall of Fame inductee in 1978. He was the 1963 AFL Player of the Year. He's also a member of the All-60s team for both the AFL and the NFL. Other birthdays for this date. Todd Christensen, born in the state in 1956. He turned 60. Wow, 60. That's making me feel old. Todd Christensen, 5-time Pro Bowl tight end, 2-time first-team All-Pro. Former Jaguar right tackle Tony Pashos, born on this date 36 years ago. Happy birthday to Tony. Tyrod Taylor, one of the best nicknames going in sports right now. T-Mobile is so perfect for that guy. It's unbelievable. Tyrod Taylor, 27 years old, first year as a starter last year. He made the Pro Bowl with over 20 touchdowns. I believe only 6 interceptions. And about born in this date in 1994, one-time Pro Bowler. He's only played 1 year. Todd Gurley came in off his torn ACL.
Good.
Ran for 1,100 yards, 10 touchdowns last season. He's 22 years young right now. And happy birthday to my mom. Now since passed away, would have been her birthday today as well. Love you, Mom. That is this date in football history, presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're right here in town on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, if you're in the market for a family dentist, they're a certified Invisalign provider. They offer a 10% discount to all first-time customers on their initial visit. Call 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the Dallas Cowboys will be without linebacker Rolando McClain for the first 10 games of the 2016 season. He violated the NFL's substance abuse policy, and according to Bleacher Report's Jason Cole, Rolando has packed on a ton of weight, even more than 40 pounds is what he's been saying, because of his use of purple drink, also known as Lean, Dirty Sprite, or Scissor, which is a combination of Sprite and codeine that Jamarcus Russell used heavily.
Isn't that purple drank?
Purple,
not drink?
Purple drank.
You gotta call it drank, right? All right.
Yeah, you gotta call it drink. Sure. Making sure there. Mike, you're drinking purple drank right now, right?
I got some purple drank right now. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Get the party started. Longtime offensive lineman Kyle Turley was on ESPN Radio's Russillo and Cannell show yesterday, and Turley talked about his marijuana use and says it changed his life.
My research, study, all these things. I don't do all this just because of random, like, oh, let's smoke some weed. Let's do a bong hit. Let's blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to get my life to where I can live it, and I can be there for my family. I can be there for my wife and my kids, my friends, my relatives, everyone in society that loves me, that wants me to succeed, that wants me to keep doing the things I'm doing, the motivating things, you know, I was losing all hope. And as I freed myself from those, I got hope back. And then I got my life back when I completely found a very specific strain that deals with my ailments that I use daily now. And it doesn't get me high. It makes me feel good, just like all these other drugs that they were giving me kind of did in some ways, but with zero of the negative side effects.
The Arizona Cardinals and Tyrann Mathieu agreed on a 5-year, $62.5 million extension, averaging more than $12 million annually. That, according to Ian Rappaport. And he also says that there's $40 million guaranteed in that $62.5 million deal. Jaguars welcome Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to the bank in week one, less than 40 days away. And Rodgers is an interesting guy. He's a big reader, a self-proclaimed history guy, and discussed what he's been reading lately on the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
I love the history of Egypt. I'm actually about to read a book about the Sphinx and the aging of it, based on the potential theories about the weathering of the nose, and if it dated back actually to a time when the Nile River was actually, it was a Nile Valley, and it was all green before kind of the desert took over. So I love those type of history books like that.
Moving on. Former Florida Gator and New England Patriot Brandon Spikes is working out down in Miami today, according to the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, which is his first workout for Spikes since taking a year away from football. And Dallas Cowboys, they lost their backup quarterback, Kellen Moore, he suffered a broken right leg in Tuesday's practice, and they're considering signing free agent quarterback Nick Foles, according to ESPN's Ed Werder. They're also exploring trades. They also have Dak Prescott on the roster. And two final headlines, James Jones, the free agent wideout, he signs with the San Diego Chargers, and free agent pass rusher Dwight Freeney signs with the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, a lot of people here said, hey, why don't we kick the tires on Dwight? Dwight had said, I want to go to a winning franchise, right? And I'm not saying, look, I get it. Atlanta wasn't a winning franchise last year. I think the Jags, Tony, feel like that they want to let these guys loose here, the young guys, right? And we're already talking about, how are you going to keep all this talent on the defensive line, or this potential talent on the defensive line? A lot of it unproven, but a lot of hope for it here. And for a guy to bring in a guy like that, I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. Because, hey, whoever can produce, right? I mean, it's great if Ngakoue develops, but I'd rather have a guy get me 8 or 9 or 10 sacks than a guy getting 3 or 4 and learning the ropes. Now, it may pay you benefits in the long term. They're hoping short term and long term they can kind of bridge that gap, I think. And who knows, you know, if Dwight Freeney, if he ever had been approached by the Jags, would he have been interested in playing here? But definitely a guy who still had something last year in a half season, able to generate 8 sacks for the Arizona Cardinals and help him get into the playoffs. So I think he's got some football left if they use him situationally, which I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I'm sure they will up in Atlanta. And look, we don't know if the Jags reached out to Freeney to engage, whether or not he'd be interested in coming here. We just don't know.
My guess is no, though.
There was no report of it, so we don't know. So I would assume they probably didn't. But look, he winds up signing in Atlanta. That's a little bit odd to me because he has said that he wanted to go to a contender.
And the Bengals had an offer to him as well.
And Arizona, I guess it wasn't going to be where he's going back to when they basically traded for Chandler Jones, who's going to be kind of that pass rush spot there. I mean, you can always use more than one, but it felt like Chandler Jones kind of came in and took Dwight Freeney's spot. Basically on that roster there in Arizona. And he was really effective for that football team for the second half of last season. So we'll see what he does up in Atlanta. I didn't hear if you mentioned it or not either during the This Day in Football History. I know I heard you say Todd Gurley. It's also Dante Fowler Jr.'s birthday.
Is it? I did not see that.
22 years young.
How about that? They're born on the exact same day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, pardon me. Excuse-moi. Happy birthday to Dante Fowler Jr. I don't know how that one got past the goalie. I did not do my job well there. Thank you very much, Gus, for pointing that out. All right, let's do this. We'll hold on to some Blake Bortles audio for a little bit later on in the hour, as we'll be joined coming up here in just a couple of minutes by a longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Brian Sexton, to get his impressions of the first week or so of training camp out here at the Florida Blue practice fields. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
We stay close to the Jags so you can too.
Games like this, there's going to be adversity. And how you respond.
1010XL, home of the Jaguars. From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, speaking of the non-mobile Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios, Tony, the indoor studio, I'm sitting in there doing a little prep for the show this morning. The Prez popped his head in, Mark Lamping, said, "How's it coming along?" Like, you're asking me? Buddy, get with it. All right, I said, it is broadcast worthy. You can broadcast out of there right now, but, you know, not all the amenities are in there. By the way, the door to the hallway, the little escape hatch, is going to be carpeted over. I found that out today. So the
really?
Whole thing, yeah, that little escape hatch.
They don't want people accidentally coming in.
I guess,
shows.
You know, and a little more soundproofing as, you know, and they want a nice, sleek backdrop for us when they stream us live, like they will with
us.
That's the reason, Tony. I'm sure it'll be in high def just for that very reason as well. We got the longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mr. Brian Sexton.
You didn't pick up on his hint with the vacuum and the dustpan there that he wanted you to clean it
up. Is that what it was? Maybe?
I think so.
I'm a little.
He said the same thing
to
me the other day, so I figured maybe it meant the same for you.
Kind of yeah. Doing that nod.
Hey, somebody
some
pick
of the
up
cleaning
that.
Supplies.
Absolutely.
Hey, can you get that? You've got now the big bay window to look in on the proceedings. They're doing a lot of we've seen a lot of renovations on the fan areas. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes too, right?
Well, it's never evolutionary process, if that makes grammatical sense. They're going to, as many news organizations are, instead of it being radio or TV, it's sort of multimedia. And that studio has a unique opportunity because it's right there with players coming in and out and with the ability to stream radio shows, to do video podcasts for us. It's going to be lit. The reason the door is still open there is they're waiting for the nicely custom-made desk, which is coming from somewhere up New York area by the middle of the month. So it's going to be a step forward for Jaguars Productions, Jaguars Media.
Coincidentally enough, I'm going to be lit as well, at least 2 out of 5 shows every week.
That's why they'll have a delay.
That's my plan anyway. Brian, how much have you been able to take in? I know you work in the building, so you're out here almost every practice. So how much have you been able to take in, and what are the things that have caught your eye so far?
You know, 22 years of doing this, I have learned when to come out and when not to. So I come out during team
you
every day.
You're not out here for stretching, are you?
Nah, it's worth it. I go up. I have a nice little spot up on the concourse where no one in the shade, where I can see perfectly for that. The reality is that when these guys get into team drills now, I am looking at the offensive line. I mean, because I think if the Jaguars can run the ball this year, and I don't mean, you know, convert 3rd and 1. I mean run when they want to run, and I think they will be able to. Then they're going to be able to command play action, which I think plays to Bortles' strength, which is moving around. And I think that they will take a major step forward in the division if they can run the ball. So I'm really focused on the offensive line and what's getting done there. Now, not a lot today because Brandon Linder isn't working. But overall, I think you can see the makings of a nice-looking unit.
Yeah, I don't think Beecham's working today either.
No, he's not. So, I mean, but you got to have 8 or 9 guys that you can count on. So roll some in. Let's see what Bernadou has and how much he can contribute on a weekly basis. And a guy that I know they like and that I like is Tyler Shatley, the kid from Clemson who's been around a couple of years now. And I just keep hearing that he is a guy who is making progress. And progress, well, let's see it. Let's see it in the first quarter of a game here in the next month.
Yeah, let's see it. And I think, look, when you look at this team, we've had this discussion, especially this week, with them getting into the pads. It's been a roster that, when you look at it, you have a lot of spots for the last 3 years where if they lost this guy, they'd be lost.
Right.
Basically on the roster. And I don't think there's a ton of those spots on this team this year, but I think if there are some of those, they're on the offensive line. Where if guys start going down on the offensive line, who is the second center for this team? What is going to happen with the left side because those two guys haven't played together at all? Really, Linder and Can haven't played together at all. So the big questions about this team for me from a roster perspective are all along that front five.
Well, and you know, Can is a guy who can step in and play center, and Shatley's a guy that has worked extensively on the practice field at center. So even in those guys, and Can has proven himself to a degree, Shatley not at all yet, you do have the ability to plug some guys in and play at different positions. This group does a good job of talking the talk about cross-training and walking the walk, especially on both lines.
By the way, we're just handed a note moments ago. It says, Ramsey is jawing with the referees. He's ready. Okay, so even in a training camp practice, Jalen Ramsey cannot contain the edge that he seems to bring with him.
He is so big. I mean, every time I watch him run with that secondary group, I just marvel at his height, at his thickness of shoulders and chest, and how long his arms are, how big his hands are. he, I don't think I'm going out of turn. I think he's a revelation for the secondary because he can do so many different things. And he's got one of those bodies that you just don't see.
Right, and I mean, for the Jags, you know, not to rehash the whole way it went down, but draft couldn't have played out any better.
No.
Really, from top to bottom, when you start to look at what flashes we see from Ngakoue practically every practice, Sheldon Day, Tony and I talked about him extensively yesterday, he gets singled out by his teammates, by the coaching staff. Wow, quickness, power, all that. If your top four guys can be significant contributors out of one draft class, that's pretty much the standard, maybe even a little bit more than the typical standard in the National Football League.
You know, I think a guy who really exemplifies what you're talking about is Michael Bennett, all right? So he started slow last year, but he finished playing strong in rotation for them, and they liked him. Well, now he's fighting for a roster spot. I mean, 2 years ago, that's a guy that you can't, maybe we need him to start, right? Now he's having to learn to do a couple of different things because you've got Sheldon Day who is going to push him. And you know you're going to have Sindarik and Malik at that three technique. Michael Bennett better cross-train. He'd be able to play a little bit of that power Roy Miller role. That's the part that excites me when I look at this roster because there are guys who have got to. How about Denard Robinson? Hey, they were counting on him the last couple of years. They needed something from him, whether it was special teams, whether it was a third down role. They had to get something productive from him. He's fighting for a roster spot this year. All of a sudden, because of the addition of Chris Ivory and what we know T.J. Yeldon's role is in this offense, or what we expect it to be, he's fighting with, you know, with Gray. He's fighting with these guys to find a spot. And if you've watched Corey Grant at all, boy, the guy's speed is just outstanding, and he's showing vision and cutback ability. Yeah, Denard's got his hands full. So guys that you're looking at a year ago saying, these guys need to contribute, now you're saying, boy, they need to get a job.
Yeah, as I've said for the last couple months, it's welcome to the 21st century of football for the Jaguars from a roster perspective where you have multiple guys that you can go to at all these positions and feel pretty good about it. I think, look, we all expected him to be better on defense. I'm still a little bit surprised by how much better it looks early on in camp, and it feels like it's coming together. Now, we don't really know until they get on the field what it's going to look like, but for them to be as good as they've looked in camp early on, it's surprised me a little bit.
I'll make a prediction on this defense, and I go back to the 96 group where they took a linebacker, a defensive lineman, and a defensive back, 1, 2, 3. You know, so a rookie on every level, they were counting on it. Kevin Hardy came out of the gates fast. Remember against the Steelers in opening day, he had a sack and an interception and 11 or 12 tackles. And Beasley and Brackens over the first 2 months of the season made plays. They flashed, but they were wildly inconsistent. They were still learning what it meant to play in the National Football League Sunday to Sunday. But by the time November rolled around, the offense was starting to click with Jimmy and Keenan. Ryzen was still there, obviously, you know, for another couple of weeks. But the offense was starting to take shape. You had Natron and James, and they were putting it together. But the defense in early November was ready to play game after game. And I think if you can get Fowler and Ramsey, and, I mean, to some degree, Miles Jack, I haven't seen enough yet to be able to say if you can get him in there, because I think with Posluszny, you're still really, really strong. But this defense with all the new guys, if by November they're starting to get it and fire off on all cylinders, then they'll be ready to make that second half run. I like what I see. I just know it's going to take some time.
Yeah, well, Miles Jack gets a great opportunity today. Paul Posluszny with a Veterans Day off, so he's going to get some first-team run. And as you would expect, I think the biggest challenge for him right now is mental and not physical. Even with the long layoff from him not playing a lot of football in the last couple of years, I think you're just watching him, making sure he gets his guys lined up, gets the right calls and things like that. I think that's the big challenge for him right now.
It's esoteric, right? I mean, it's way out there. So people, they can't put their arms around what I'm about to say, but I like his, and this is a Gus Ward spirit, I love the way that he plays the game. I love the way that he interacts with the players and the refs. I love the energy, the youthful enthusiasm. You know, he talks about loving the game, and then you see it with every step he takes on this field. That's what really excites me. Whether he's a major contributor early, I mean, he will be for the long term as long as that knee is as healthy as they hope that it will be. But I just love to watch him play. He is a lot of fun, and we just haven't seen a whole lot of it yet.
No, not yet. Kind of cool moment a couple minutes ago out on the practice field as they were doing some one-on-one work out there, and A-Rob drew Prince Amukamara today, and apparently the whistle blew for the end of a session, and Prince said, let's go one more time. You know, Prince wanted that one more rep going up against A-Rob, so kind of a cool moment.
Do you know, this whole camp, and it's only a week old, but there's an energy about it. I mean, you see the guys run to the ball. You see the tight ends. You see Mercedes and Julius, both veterans. I mean, kicking it into extra gear to get by a defensive back on a 7-on-7 drill where they don't need to run to the end zone. I mean, they know better than to waste too much energy, but they've got more energy. I think all of these guys, especially some of these veterans who were here last year, they see how much better this team can be. The talent level is so much better than it has been, and they're pushing it. They're driving it forward. Now, how that translates on the field, I don't know, but it's fun to watch a group of guys that think they can be good work at being good.
Brian Sexton here with us on Jaguars today for a few more minutes. Our question of the day today dealt with where the pass rush is coming from. I think most people, if you'd ask them who's going to lead this team in sacks, say Dante Fowler Jr., I hope that would be
it should
case.
Be.
So we asked today, who will the top three combined sack leaders be for this team, and how many will the top three generate in addition to Fowler? Who would you put in that group?
Well, I think Jared Odrich still is going to have a chance because he plays that five technique on the outside, and they've slid him in and let him play the three technique last year, especially in the Jets game and through the rest of the season. He had 5.5 sacks last year. So I would say you will see Fowler. I'll go with Ngakoue. I mean, the Leos in this scheme get the opportunity to chase the quarterback. And I sat with Ngakoue when they brought the prospects through, right? I mean, here's a kid from Maryland. I don't watch college football very much, and I certainly don't watch Maryland very often. Who's this Yannick Ngakoue guy, and how do you pronounce your name? Sat with him for about 20 minutes to do an interview, and the minute they were on the clock in the third round, I said, they're going to take Yannick Ngakoue here. I could just feel that chemistry between them. They loved him from the get-go, and so I really expect that in this scheme, he is going to get after it. He bends well. Now he's got to learn to play the run, and that's a lot of want to, according to Jeff Lagerman. And for a 250-pounder who didn't have to in college, it's tough to learn to want to do it in the NFL. But he's going to have to do that. But I would say Fowler and Ngakoue because of the position that they play, and I think Odrich is going to be the third. I think he's a nice three-technique rusher in certain situations, and he's got enough power. And with Fowler getting attention and Ngakoue on the other side, I think he's going to have an opportunity to get 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8 sacks.
Scrimmage coming up on Friday night for fans who maybe haven't had the opportunity to get out to training camp. For a lot of people, it's going to be their first chance to see the 2016 version of the Jags. So for those guys who haven't seen anything yet, what do you think they should be watching for, two or three things on Friday night?
Well, everyone's going to watch the quarterback and the receivers for sure. But I would charge people, look at Rashad Green. Watch him, because whether Lee comes through in the role that a lot of us thought he might be able to this year, Rashad Green looks to me like the guy who could have a big season touchdown-wise. I mean, he's going to get lost in the wash, and he's going to find open spaces, and he's really gifted at finding open spaces. And, of course, you know he runs great routes and has exceptional hands. He may not have straight-line speed like some of these other guys, but I think him in the slot's going to be fun to watch. Watch Jalen Ramsey. Just watch what an absolute lion on the football field looks like, because he's this great, big, strong king of the jungle. I mean, he is out there running all over the place. He's effortless in what he does. I would call him a predator in the defensive backfield, and he knows it. So he's a lot of fun there. And then spend some time watching the offensive line and the running game. Again, it's not so much a scrimmage and they're going to go full. I mean, there's going to be a quick whistle on this deal. But see who gets movement up front and see if, indeed, Chris Ivory and T.J. Yeldon, who are going to be limited, they're not going to expose these guys to a lot. But just see if there's a cohesiveness in it, if it looks like they're able to run. Because this defensive line group is deep, they're big, they're talented. See if anybody can block Malik Jackson, because so far it hasn't seemed possible.
During the scrimmage on Friday night, will you be blogging? Will you be doing?
I'll be on the sidelines. You know, in the stadium last year, I started working with the crew on the big boards and their production there. And so I spent the season on the sidelines, which I think is a great chapter for my book, but chapter 22. So I'll be, you know, and I like to, that's a great game where you can talk to the players during the game. And during the normal game, you can't, but on this particular night, you can walk around and ask, hey, what was that? What didn't happen here? So I'll go find guys like Mercedes who, you know, have great insight and spend time talking to them. I'll hit the Twitter a little bit, but for me, typing isn't as much fun as talking.
No way.
Yeah, you guys like us, talking isn't the problem. Stopping is.
Right. All right, Brian Sexton, thanks for stopping by, man. We'll catch up a little bit later in training camp.
Great to see you guys. Anytime.
There he goes, the longtime voice of your Jags, at Jags Voice on Twitter. I didn't mention earlier, Brent Martineau is, of course, at Brent AS Jax for Action Sports Jacksonville. He just tweeted out, Tony, a little video that's worth checking out if you're on Twitter. It's got about a dozen retweets already. The horn goes off at the end of a drill, and it's looks like a one-on-one drill between wide receivers and defensive backs, right? Mm-hmm. So Allen Robinson and Principal Kamara say, the hell with the horn, let's do one more rep.
Yep.
Right? Allen Robinson toasts him on an inside move and scores what would have been a touchdown. kind of as they're walking back through the back of the end zone after Robinson ran through the back of the end zone after catching the ball, he kind of hands Prince the ball. Prince drops it on the ground and just drop kicks it down the field. He was not pleased with the result of that play. But Allen Robinson is another guy. We don't talk about him every day, but he is solidifying himself as, you know, that he's not satisfied with what he did last year. Not that the numbers necessarily be bigger, but he's going to be a better player. He's going to continue to progress. He's not resting on his laurels. This guy has come out and looked like a true number one wide receiver through the first week of
game. No doubt about it. I just saw the strangest tandem I've seen out here at training.
Oh, do tell.
Through the first 5 days. It's a looks like father and son. The father's wearing a Drew Brees jersey. Which is strange enough. The kid's wandering around in an Odell Beckham Jr. jersey. So it's a father and son out here at Jaguars training camp in a Brees and Beckham jersey.
It's from that new fantasy league. Have you seen the regular guy fantasy league? They meet in Drew Brees' basement. It's Beckham and Brees, and they're like four other guys. It's a commercial that they're doing. I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of right now. I wouldn't mind having that hookup on my fantasy team this year, by the way. Brees and Beckham. That'll serve you quite well. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Another segment to go on Jaguars today. We'll hear a little bit more from Blake Bortles straight ahead. We'll also take a look at the fan feedback spotlight and kind of discuss some of the candidates to be among the top three sacked for the Jacksonville Jaguars here in 2016. That's your fan feedback question of the day. Who are the top three sack producers this year, and how many will they combine for? MD Fat Tony here with you live at the Florida Blue practice fields. Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Hey, folks, Mike Dempsey here for Dandy Foods. I'm always talking about what a great option Dandy is anytime, really, but particularly around lunchtime because that's when we do the show. But today, I'm talking about breakfast, most important meal of the day. That's what they tell us. One of the best-kept secrets in town when it comes to eating on the go is the Dandy Breakfast Sliders. If you haven't tried one, you're absolutely going to love them and be back for more. It's a little two-pack. Let me tell you, folks, it eats big. Two thick sausage patties, each coming with a slice of tasty melted cheddar cheese on a fresh baked bun they call a baby brioche. Absolutely the perfect size for eating on the go. And the price, ridiculous. $3, you can't beat it. I'm not a huge fan of spicy food, but the sandwich is good. Just the right amount of kick to kickstart your day. It's our own proprietary flavor, too. So, folks, you only find that sausage on a Dandy Breakfast Slider. Start your day tomorrow morning at your local Kangaroo Express or Circle K. And whether it's breakfast, lunch, or anytime you're hungry, do what I do. Go out and make yours a Dandy and do it today.
Sports talk with an attitude.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
1010XL. Jacksonville's live and local sports radio. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars today, leading up to the midday chalk at the top of the hour. Joe C., Rick Ballou, T-Wig, Hacker, the quartet. I saw Rick out here this morning. Yep. Saw T-Wig. We had T-Wig on. I saw Hacker out here this morning. I don't know if Joe C. has made it out today or not, but nevertheless, they'll have this whole training camp thing covered from stem to stern. Yesterday after practice, Blake Bortles stopped by and spoke to the gathered media and had a few things to say. We ran that cut earlier where someone asked him whether or not, where did that tirade by Gus Bradley, he had a tirade on the field amongst the players, basically chewing their ass for, you know, kind of having a lackluster practice. And Blake said, that was a top tenner probably for Gus in terms of letting loose here in his three-plus years. So we had that. But now we get to Bortles talking about himself. And a lot of people have remarked, Tony, Dave Caldwell, I think, probably did it best when he said, hey, you know what, Blake's a notoriously slow starter. If this is him starting slow this year, we're in for big things. I'm paraphrasing because he's off to the best start of any camp that we've had since he's been here. And we take that to mean OTAs, mini camps, you name it. He's a notoriously not a great practice player compared to his game situations. And the fact that he has looked much sharper in these practices is a good sign for the Jags. So Blake was asked yesterday if he feels like right now he's practicing better than he did at this point last year.
I think so, definitely. If I wasn't, it'd be pretty disappointing. You know, I think going in the second year in the system, I think, you know, personally, I think the decisions have been better. You know, as a whole, there's still been bad decisions and bad throws, and there probably always will be. But trying to minimize those as much as possible and, you know, try and find ways to be efficient.
Blake Bortles after practice yesterday. Also asked about the Leo position, the pass rushers on this football team. Dante Fowler Jr. given the day off yesterday as he's coming off the ACL injury, so they thought it best to play it a little cautious with him, though he's not limited at all when he's on the practice field. But Yannick Ngakoue got some of the starters reps yesterday in practice. Blake Bortles was asked about the fourth or third round draft pick of the Jags.
I think he's been good. I think him and Dante both, you know, two young guys on the edge that have kind of made some noise. I think both of them have great get-off speed and are extremely quick for edge rushers. So they've definitely both, you know, spent a good amount of time in the backfield so far. And it's only going to, you know, help our tackles and everybody else out more trying to block those guys.
Well, and that's the thing, too. You know, we fool ourselves in various aspects of football, watching one group have success. It's that going back to, all right, guy hits a big pass. Are you happy for the quarterback or the wide receiver? Or are you disappointed in the defensive backfield and the pass rush? You know, so there's a little bit of give and take there. But with the fact that Fowler and Ngakoue have been singled out for recognition, Blake was asked if he is feeling and really noticing an increase in the pass rush this year.
Yeah, you know, I think everything feels better. I mean, from an offensive standpoint and then from a defensive standpoint as well. I mean, the defensive line, the backers, the secondary, it really feels better. It's challenging as a quarterback to try next few plays against, you know, this kind of caliber of a defense.
Blake Bortles, one last comment from him from after practice yesterday, was also asked, they've gotten some red zone work here the last couple of practices, was asked if he's feeling better about what they're getting done in the red zone.
Yeah, I think, the past two practices gone into the red zone and had Skelly and team periods down there. And I think there's been some good stuff done. You know, I think, you know, it kind of attributes back to what Ryan was talking about. And, you know, the defense has gotten better. So windows are even more tighter now than they were last year, which is only good. You know, it's only going to help us out. But I think being able to continue to execute in the red zone, really starting fast in the red zone, were kind of the two areas we want to really improve on.
All right, there you go. Your quarterback, Blake Bortles, yesterday speaking after practice. Practice continuing right now on, once again, the far field. It's like the second day in a row they're down there. They're in the middle field. Maybe they're in the middle field. My depth perception sucks. Every time I think I hit it to 10 feet, Tony, it's about 30 feet away. So I'm not the best with the whole depth perception thing going on there. Tony, top three pass rushers this year is what the question of the day revolves around. Mm-hmm. So for you, how would you answer that question? Who will the top three in terms of total sacks be for the Jaguars this year?
Fowler, number one. It's pretty clear why he's going to be number one. I'll put Ngakoue, two, and I think he and Malik Jackson are going to be close because I think Malik's going to be on the field for all the third down stuff too, so he'll have those opportunities plus first and second down, but Ngakoue is going to be put in that Leo position, probably going to be on the field for most of the third downs, I would guess, is kind of that pass rush package with Dante Fowler on the other side of him playing defensive end. So those would be my three.
Yeah, I those would be my three as well. I was thinking about this driving in this morning. I mean, I hope Malik Jackson's like a half dozen sack guy at least for this team. And, you know, that in turn leads to other guys getting more opportunities. You know, maybe it's, heck, if they all want to compete for 8 to 10 sacks,
be nice.
More power to them. But I think those are the best three bets as well. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight here in just a second. Young Shep on Twitter saying he's from Texas, where drank and dirty Sprite is a common thing, and he was enjoying hearing us discuss. As far as you know, though, young Shep, no codeine in mind. Just
no.
The straight Crystal Light. Thank you very much. All right, fan feedback spotlight today. Tony, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Ask just that, which three players for the Jags will combine for the most sacks, and what is that number? How many will they combine for? What did Twitter have to say?
From Cameron, we got Fowler, Marks, and player picked up after training camp cuts. 29 sacks between them. Greg Hardy visit shows they need outside help. From Johnny, Fowler, Scooter, Yannick, and he says combining for 26 sacks. From Dan, Fowler with 11.5, and Ngakoue 8.5, and Day with 6.5. Those are all big numbers for those guys. From Jags and Goats, Fowler 8.5, Mark 6, tied with Malik Jackson with 6. From Jay, Dante, Yannick, and Sinderic will combine for 24. From Eric, Fowler, Yannick, and Malik Jackson. From STL, we got Dante Fowler with 8, Malik Jackson 6, and Aaron Colvin comes back with a vengeance with 6, which gives them 20 total. And from Chris, Dante, Yannick, and Malik combined 27 sacks.
All right, on Facebook today, Damon went with top three Jags sack leaders in 2016. Fowler will get 11. Unique Ngakoue, 8.5. Mark, 6 for 25.5 combined. Team will get 61. He says, bank it. Hashtag 11-5 slash 10-6. But Damon's been pumping that hashtag out there for quite a while now. Damon, hope it comes to pass this year, brother. Garrett said Fowler, 8.5. Day, 8. And Jackson, 7 for a combined 23.5. Jeff Loggeman's praise for Sheldon Day. Look, I think it's going to be difficult for Sheldon Day to get that many. If he does, fantastic. But when you've got Malik Jackson, you've got some Derek Marks, as good as he looks right now, they're pretty damn accomplished guys ahead of you, and it's going to be tough to get enough reps, I think, to get 8 sacks for Sheldon Day.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, the three guys that I mentioned with Dante Unique and Malik Jackson, if you ask me which one I think is least likely to be among those three, it's Unique Ngakoue. And he's a rookie who's going to be a role player for this football team. It's going to be more difficult for him than anyone else, and Sheldon Day even more so, because he's a rookie who's going to be a role player playing on the interior of the defensive line, which is not where a ton of sacks come from. So would I be surprised at all if that winds up being, you know, Dante and Malik Jackson and, you know, Jared Odrick or Sendarek Marks, I think, are likely candidates for that as well. I kind of like the Colvin pick, or Jalen Ramsey, you know, blitzing off that corner spot, I think makes some sense as well. It's a lot to ask of rookies to come in and be that kind of impact. I think there's going to be opportunity for those guys to have that kind of impact, but it's a lot to ask if they actually do it.
Couple more. Jonathan went with Fowler with 11. We have the same birthday. How cool is that? Well, happy birthday, Jonathan. Jackson will get 7, and Marks will get 6. Much love from Nashville. Oh, we love it. In enemy territory, supporting the Teal. All right, Fowler with 11, Jack with 6, Marks with 6 for 23, says Jason. Chad Cox went with Brackens with 10, Loggeman with 8, and Schmenge with 6 for 23. Maybe those are those after training camp pickups that those guys were talking about earlier. And then finally, Fowler, 12.5, Unique Ngakoue, 9, and Marks getting 5 for 26.5. For the Jags, was it T-Wig who said 28 out of the three? Or
yeah.
Or was 28 at any trio. If they got 28 sacks out of any trio this year, that would be phenomenal, I think.
That would be phenomenal. I saw someone on the text line, I think, early on, driven by Duval Ford, put in their three. I can't remember the three players, but I remember the number they had for the total team sacks was 67, which would be crazy.
Fowler, 12.5, Marks, 8, Unique, 7.
Yeah,
is that what it was?
For a total of 67, right.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos led the NFL last year with 57.
Right, now wait a minute. So you had how many did those three combine for in that prediction, Tyler?
Those three combined for 27.5.
So, and the 60, so they're going to get, what, are they going to have 8 guys getting 5? Is that what's going to happen? How are you going to get to 67? You need like a 15-sack guy and a 12-sack guy if you're going to get up in that range. But, hey, you know what? Optimism. Don't try to rein it in for the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, that'll about do it for Jaguars today, with the Midday Chalk crew coming up at the top of the hour. Who do we have on today? How about T-Wig? Brent Martineau, Brian Sexton, got to hear a little bit from Gus Bradley. Maybe one more epic rant on the way out here from Gus. Classic epic rant from his days in Seattle. And then Blake Bortles, as well as Fat Tony and myself and Tyler Devitt, all weighing in on Jaguars today this morning. Thanks to our friends at Metro Rooter. They bring you the show every Wednesday. We're back at it again tomorrow. We got a tough life, man. We got to come out here in the beautiful weather. Today's great again.
Today's good. Yeah.
Not oppressive. Beautiful sunshine. Bright blue skies, and it makes you happy to be alive and a football fan in Northeast Florida, man. Jaguars are coming, baby. Don't you forget about it, AFC South. All right, that does it for us for today. Tony and I back at it again tomorrow from 10 to noon, right back here at the Florida Blue Practice Field. Midday Chalk on the other side. Let's hear from Gus on the way out, ranting. Count the bleeps, by the way. This was maybe a little more than what he went off on with yesterday, but this is what he was trending towards, not happy with the way the practice went. That does it for Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
2 yards up, 2 yards inside the number, 2 yards inside the number. Don't f***ing show the shell early. It's not there, triple. Hold back, don't f***ing cover two. Do your job. And you know what? We got a chance on third down. You see it high. It's all f***ing weak. Play the f***ing high. I tell you, it's 3rd and 5. Trips, CN short. Bam, it's high. Play the s***. You understand? I
said what? Crawl his feet down. You'll take away the draw. We don't fucking brawl. What, we're all on the fucking different pages? All you know we gotta do, this. No, 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 we don't have to do anything. We got 3 and out by guys doing their job. Then we get this series, everybody knows to do their own fucking thing. Well, you won't be great till you do your job.
You guys have a good day. Peace.